Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I am speaking with Brian Carr. He is the Managing Director of Ru Life Group. You can see the logo there, Ru Life Group. I'm going to ask him about that. ASX code is RLG. That's also on the screen, so we're making it very easy for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, who is Ru Life Group? They are an online digital marketing and e-commerce business, and doing a lot of business in China, which is absolutely on fire at the moment. We're going to talk about all things China, e-commerce, digital marketing. Brian, great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Kerry. Great to speak with you and great to have the opportunity to introduce Ru Life to a new audience.
Well, it's interesting because this is the first time you've spoken to us on Small Caps. Before we get going, where did the name Ru Life Group come from? Because I can see there's a kangaroo in their background there as well.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting history, which goes back to my time in China. So spending 10 years in China, living in Beijing and Shanghai, working in what was then the early days of mobile payments and e-commerce, it's actually almost worked backwards from what was something that symbolised the high regard that Australia was held in by Chinese shoppers and consumers. They all want to buy products from countries like Australia. And despite, you know, what might be happening now in terms of the geopolitical tensions between Australia and China, I can tell you that Australia is still held in high regard by shoppers online in China. Now, that name was something that was a derivation of the Chinese name for Ru Life, which was well received within the market, which we then took across into the Australian market. So that's the origins of the name. It's more driven by who the shoppers are than who we're presenting to on the Australian side.
Thank you for that. Now, you guys, you're a baby. You're 2 years old at the moment. I think what's going to be interesting is where you saw the gap in the market and the fact that you're not just an e-commerce business, you're also digital marketing. And what are the challenges in doing business in China the way you're doing business at the moment?
I probably don't know if there's that many challenges in terms of saying it's almost like we've got to be careful. There's not too many things that we can chase. There's so many huge opportunities and great opportunities. That's probably the only thing that we're wary of, is to stay very focused and on game in terms of doing what we do very well. And what we found is that as much as there is such strong demand and interest from Chinese shoppers, every business that I meet or speak with wants to be into the Chinese market. Right. They see most businesses have had a downturn around COVID. So they've seen their domestic market affected in terms of sales. But if they then look and see where is growth happening in the world, it's in China. So China is recovering faster than anywhere else in the world. And the online demand for Western goods and international goods is huge. So whenever I speak to a brand, they say, yeah, I'd love to get into China. I just don't know how, or I've had a bad experience, or I know someone who has, but it's a market I want to get into. And as a Western listed business, we provide a level of trust and credibility for those brands that we can hold their hand and take them into the market with a knowledge and experience and an on-the-ground team that can represent their brand in the best possible way.
Is it very different? Because, you know, we are talking about China at the moment. Is it a different way of marketing and a different way of communicating? Obviously, there's a language communication, but I'm talking about generally speaking, they love the Western goods, but do you have to market it in a different way? Is it much more specific? And that's why you have to have a company like Ru Life hold their hand and take them through that process?
Very much so. So the way that the Chinese online shopping market is very sophisticated and very mature. They are racing ahead of us here in the West. And the way that they make buying decisions is very different to the way that you and I would online. it's very much about trust, credibility, and validating a product and why I should be buying it. The online streaming, the key opinion leaders, the social e-commerce component of how you sell, market and sell successfully in China is very different to the way that we would do it here in the West. Now, the fortunate thing for us as a company and for our clients is that we are a digital marketing group with expertise here on the ground in Australia, but also on the ground in China. And we can match those things together and say, okay, for us, for a brand ultimately to be successful in the Chinese market, it has to have good brand credibility and awareness in the West as a validation point. And then we can then tailor that to be very specifically focused on the demographic that's going to fit successfully with that brand in China. So different ways of approaching it. And that's often, or has been historically, the basis of failure for many Western brands or companies entering into the Chinese market, where we've taken our understanding of our particular product or brand and how we've marketed in our domestic market, and we've taken that to China and look to impose that on the Chinese shopper. And that just doesn't work. So that's where our real expertise and our special sauce comes into play.
I love that. Love a bit of special sauce. Now, I'm looking at this from an investment point of view as well. I think there's potentially a perception. You know, we've had the lobster issue. We've had some issues with certain products, but I guess with Rulife, there are so many different products, and the perception is that there's a challenge with doing goods and services into China. But from your point of view, that's not an issue, and in fact, it's growing faster than you thought. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that everyone's aware of the headlines, the daily headlines that we might see that, you know, sort of are highlighting the issues between Australia and China. And there's no shying away from it. There are specific products or commodities which are having issues. But one thing that we know is that we offer a diversified range of products from around the world to consumers that are actively seeking it, even more so now. I mean, our focus is on health and well-being and beauty and personal hygiene. And it's actually huge growth areas. Everyone has a greater awareness now of health, well-being. They want their supplements. They want high-quality food products. So personal grooming is becoming even more important. So they're the types of products that we're seeing huge demand from. We now represent brands from not just Australia, but New Zealand, the UK, Europe, South America, the US. So we're very diverse in both our offering and our geographic exposure as well.
And Brian, are you seeing some of these bigger brands come to you because they're like, you know what, take the headache away from me, go to Rulife, they can deal with it all. And I'm talking about some of the bigger brands that you would think, well, they've got a good inroad into China. Are you seeing that there's a bit of a change there because you've come in and said, we'll take the headache away? Is that where the growth is?
Yeah, I think there's two things. I think it's referrals and reference points. So us being very successful with well-known established brands, I think that gives prospective clients and our new clients a level of comfort that we can actually assist them entering into these markets. But the way that we provide a complete end-to-end service as well means that we essentially become the brand in China. So we do all things from marketing to translation to logistics to customer acquisition to how do you get paid? How do I get paid outside China? So it's a complete end-to-end solution. So there are no headaches for our brands. They just see the growth over time of what they're achieving in such a huge market.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be massive and you're only 2 years old. Quick question for you. China's huge. India?
Yes, certainly. There's a range of different markets that we're looking at around the world, but our real focus is in China because the growth is so strong there right now. Yeah. But what we do find is an outcome of us becoming a brand means that we become very well versed in understanding that brand, what appeals to what demographic, and the online marketing, the logistics, the transport, all of those sort of things puts us in a very strong position to be able to take those products into other markets and other growth markets as well. So whilst China is very much our focus because of that strong demand, we are also looking at and actively exploring the opportunity to market and sell those brands into other countries as well.
Okay, so it's a little bit further down the track, but e-commerce is booming. You know, some people have had a challenge with the pandemic, not real life. It's actually probably been the best thing that's happened to you, but we have an investor audience here, Brian. So let's talk numbers.
Yeah.
Now, your current market cap is about 13 million. You've got 5 million in cash, doing about 2.5 million in revenue per quarter. Those numbers are good, but it's not really reflected in the share price. What are you putting that down to at the moment?
Oh, I think there's two aspects of that. I think our focus has been really internal about getting in and building this business and building out a solid business that we can now sell to the market. And this is really now where we start to kick off and communicate that. And so,
okay,
right, we're a two-year-old business now. We've got some runs on the board. We've got a really good, strong growth trajectory. We can, we're getting to the stage where we're actively forecasting in advance we're aggressively forecasting that we're going to double our revenue in this quarter. So that should give.
Sorry, can you just say that again? You're going to double your revenue in this quarter.
Yes, so exactly that. So we're going from $1.3 million last quarter, December quarter, which was already 40% growth. But now we're saying we're going to increase that 100% in the March quarter. So that's the sort of really exciting growth that we're achieving. And, you know, it's feeding the demand, and it's coming off the back of the contracts that we announced through 2020. So we were actively selling online, doing what we're really good at in terms of digital marketing, attracting brands to us and getting them ready for launch into China. We are now delivering on those online stores, which are now starting to drive that revenue. And we fully expect it to be able to continue to grow strongly from here.
Now, you're also dealing with Alibaba as a platform. Can we just talk a little bit about that and how that came about and what impact that will have on the business?
Yeah, obviously Alibaba, biggest shopping platform in China, you know, announced records every year, a very, very good partner for us. So it's a platform that gives us access to a very large portfolio of clients that we can actively sell those products to. But we're also an Alipay marketing partner. So that'll, you know, allows us to be able to market to and collect payment from Alipay's 900 odd million mobile wallets. So that means that we can actively market, sell, collect payment and settle payment anywhere in the world. So it's an incredibly valuable partnership for us.
Can we just talk about that revenue model for a moment? What is your revenue model? Do you take a clip of the ticket all the way through, or is there a fee to start? How does that work?
Yeah, we have service fees. So our brands engage us on a monthly recurring service fee. So obviously the more brands that we add, that becomes accretive solid revenue that we know is coming through every month. But we also take a commission on every product that we sell. So that's the scalability of what can be achieved in China. Each time we're selling a product, we're clipping the ticket. And as we grow out our customer base and as we bring more brands on, obviously that accretes and grows over time. So we've got good, solid recurring revenues, but also the blue sky scalability that China offers.
You're getting me a little bit excited about this now, Brian. I mean, the growth, and you said earlier that you really have been building the foundation. You haven't been out there really talking very much. You said, we've been getting on with doing the business. Now we've decided to let people know. Do you think that that's potentially why the share price has been a little bit static?
I think it is a consequence of two things. Being the best kept secret. Now we want to get that secret out. I mean, we're trading at 1-2 times revenue. We think that there's certainly upside there. And the other side of it, I think that is really important, I think is almost counterintuitive, is the perception that China and Australia is a problem and maybe that's to be avoided. The sort of counter cyclical nature of that, it's sort of like, I would be saying now's the time to be getting your access to China. But the reality is that our numbers speak for themselves. China is a very strong and growing sales market for us, and there's plenty of upside there.
All right. Well, we're almost got to leave it there, Brian, but I really want to finish with this. Is for investors right now, because we've got a big investor audience listening to this, so what would you say to investors that go, oh, I haven't heard of Rewlife before, ASX code RLG, ladies and gentlemen. What would you say to them, because you've got a lot of news coming up, why is now a good time to invest in RLG?
Well, I think if you look back at our announcements over the last 10 months, we've secured contracts that, based on the sales targets we expect to hit with those brands, worth over $22 million to the company. We've grown the revenue. I said, look, from $1.3 million the last quarter, it's going to be in excess of double that, $2.5 million in this quarter. So very, very strong growth. We're well capitalized. We had over $5 million cash at bank December quarter. So well positioned for growth. And we're servicing a very hungry, fast-growing market. So 925 million online shoppers in China, growing at over 12% a year, we're spending over 2.2 trillion Australian dollars. So we provide diversified exposure to that very fast-growing market. Everyone knows e-commerce is booming. That is exactly what we do. There's an online growing customer base that we're servicing. So, and I think the numbers speak for themselves. Look at our what we've done in the last year. Look what we're forecasting with confidence about what we can achieve. And we think that there is more upside for us to achieve as a business.
Brian Carr, it's been a very exciting story. I think you've got a lot still to come. I'll be very, very interested to see when we next speak, see where Rewlife Group has grown over the next few months. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much. Delighted to speak with you today.